Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point. You're adding people to your organization, conflict is always a part of it. And conflict resolution is a part of it. Now, it changes when it's no longer family. Because, you know, you can take advantage of the fact that it's your family and you might have like a little bit tougher of a conversation with one another, but you can't do that same thing, you know, with someone who's not, you know, someone who's organically coming to the business. But conflict resolution will always be a part of business because you have to learn how to resolve it in a professional way.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. And I got my co-host who's joining me this week, which I'm excited about. He is in Texas. That is the Lone Star State, for those of you who don't know. And he's growing out the beard, so he fit into Texas. The question I had is, did you wear the cowboy hat too, Chad?
So I actually asked somebody, I saw a guy walking through and I was like, do you think I could pull off a sport coat with a cowboy hat walking through and like being serious about it? The guys I were with told me that that could not be possible. So no, I have not ever worn a cowboy hat. So maybe one day.
So note to self to all of our listeners, my co-host Chatty P, also known as 22 Savage, cannot pull off the sport coat and cowboy hat in the great state of Texas. So I think you could probably do it though, bro, with that, with the beard. So hey, I'm just happy that you're here. So thank you for making it happen. Though you're at the airport, you know, waiting to board your flight back to the great state of Indiana, you know, the crossroads of America. And I'm just happy to have you on here. But I'm excited for our guests today. And I've never even met our guest today. And what's cool about it is how I even became aware of our guest and her company was through a really good friend of mine. I've been had a relationship with for lots of years. Awesome leader, woman leader in the business. Bryant, you know, from the Bryant gang. Women and Bryant and HVAC, or Bryant, or was it Bryant? Women and Bryant or some shit like that. It's the Bryant Women in HVAC. Did I get something like that? I don't know. There's something along those lines.
You nailed it.
Thank you. Charlene Ierna, who's a total badass down in Florida. And Charlene and I go way back, and I've just like always respected her. She's been awesome. Even to this day, like we're still good friends today. And she's the one that made me aware of our guest, Rachel, also known as Rara. To some.
That's right.
Or Rach.
That's right.
Whatever you want to call her. And she is the CEO and co-owner of AGS HVAC Services in Westport, Mass. Is that right? Westport?
Yep.
Which is, what, about an hour or so south or hours south of Boston? Is that right? In the country?
Yes.
So you a country girl?
I am.
You're country girl? Speaking of country, just a few weeks ago, I went to Stagecoach. You ever heard of Stagecoach?
No.
Stagecoach is like the country version of Coachella. You know what Coachella is?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. So basically, it's a three-day festival where Coachella is, but it's all country music. It was amazing. Chad, next time you should go because I know how you love to sing along to all country songs.
It's Texas. That literally sounds like my worst nightmare. I told my wife, I was like, oh, Chris and Anna are out at Stagecoach. She goes, I hope you don't want to go because that sounds like your worst nightmare. I was like, yeah, a lot of people in a small area, a lot of things going on. Yeah, that didn't sound like me, but it looked like fun.
Okay, we'll stick to the Indianapolis 500, which we will be at here in a few weeks. So I am looking forward to that. But Rach, welcome to the podcast. Are you excited for today?
I am super excited. Thank you for having me.
If you weren't excited, would you have admitted it?
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, what's going to be awesome about this episode for all the listeners is, and when I have Rachel share a little bit of the story of their business, it's not a big business. That's what's cool about this episode. We have a lot of listeners that reach out and say, hey, Like, can you start to bring on some smaller contractors so that way we can kind of hear where they're at, what they're going through, you know, today, decisions that they're making today. And that's what makes this cool, because I'll bet you, and Chad, we were talking about this, I can't remember how many episodes or so ago, about how the blocking and tackling, you know, that you learn in the beginning, some of the basic, you know, X's and O's are things that some people need to get back to. And you know, Rachel's kind of in it, like she's in the thick of it. And, it's exciting to be able, you know, I'm excited to be able to share your story and your progress, you know, as a still small privately held business, you know, in the tri-state area. So I'm excited to get into your story. I do, before I get going to, I just want to give a quick shout out to a huge Chad Peterman fan who also just happened to be listening to the podcast and is friends with one of our employees at Rhino, Lana Clough. So shout out to Lana Clough. Thank you for being a loyal listener. We appreciate you. Chad would say something, but he's on mute. So I'm going to say, nice to meet you, Anna. That was my Chad Peterman voice.
Well, thank you, Anna. I really appreciate that.
It's Lana.
Forward to meeting you.
Lana, whatever.
Reach out anytime.
Reach out anytime. Hey, by the way, Rach, I'm assuming you're a Celtics fan. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're doing good, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So let's not go too far. Okay. Let's just chill out a little bit. But I don't know if you heard this or not, but Chad, I don't know if you heard about this, but there's some rumors that Edie might end up being a Celtic. Did you hear that? Some predictions that old Zach Edie could be a Boston Celtic player next season.
Well, the best thing the Boston Celtics have going for them is they have a man from Indiana running the team in Brad Stevens.
That's right.
Unfortunately, a DePaul grad. but an Indiana man nonetheless. And yeah, they look really good. God, if your fifth man can put up 25, you're doing pretty well. So Pacers are on the other side of the bracket. Need to pull off an old school victory against the Knicks and maybe facing the old Celtics here before long, hopefully.
And I'm hoping that it happens while I'm in Indy. I'm hoping
it would.
Well, the Phoenix Suns are out of it. So let's go ahead and move on. All right. That was a great conversation. We're moving on. So, hey, Rachel. Okay. Hey, so welcome to the episode. What I want you to do for our listeners is go ahead and let them know exactly what size the business is. You can just do end of, you know, last year. That's fine. So that way they have some frame of reference for the size of the business. And then let's go ahead and just walk it back to how you got into the trades from being a nurse, of all things. So let's go ahead and start there. We'll walk it back and then we'll ask a little bit of questions along the way.
Okay. So last year we ended at 3.5 million in revenue, and there's about 18 of us.
Okay. Now 3.5 million, and you're which services?
So we're completely HVAC, just HVAC.
Right. Commercial, you're doing a mixture of commercial and residential.
Yep. So 50%, commercial, small commercial, package rooftops, and about 50% residential service, swap out, and residential new construction.
Got it. Okay. So the market that you're in, like the area that you're serving, is kind of roughly what in population? Since you're not in Boston, you're much south, you know, further south of it. What's like your area there? Because you're tri-state, but what is your potential look like where your service area is? Population, like how many people are?
That is a great question. I don't know the answer to that question. How many? Because we service most of Massachusetts, most of all of Rhode Island, and most of Connecticut. So, okay. I mean, I would say being tri-state, it's, you know.
Yeah, that's actually, when you put it that way, there's a significant amount of opportunity there for you beyond $3.5 million.
Yeah, so I should know that number.
That's okay. It's not a big deal. I'll figure it out for you too, because I know we have some follow-up to this. But okay, so go ahead and let the listeners know. You know, you heard me say nurse. Yes, nurse. But when did you get into the business? I mean, because now you heard me whenever I made the introduction, I said co-owner, but that's not how it started. Take us back to how the business got started, how you came into the business, and then into being when you said, you know what, sounds like a really good idea to buy in and be an owner of an HVAC business. Like, let's walk it back to there.
So my dad and his business partner, John Slattery, opened up the company in 2012. They were working for a really bad HVAC company. And they decided to go out on their own. So at the time in 2012, John was still working part-time for the other company, and Dad was kind of doing small service calls by himself. By 2014, they had went out to a Burlington Coat factory. It was a big built-up chiller system, and they fixed it. And so Burlington ended up giving Dad and John maybe 20 stores in 2014 after they fixed this big chiller system in Connecticut. So that summer of 2014, Dad couldn't handle it. He was traveling to Connecticut, Rhode Island, into Mass, doing all the service. John pulled off, came on to AGS full time. I was working as a CNA at the beginning of 2014, and my patient had passed maybe in March. And I was getting ready to go start nursing school in September. So I'd got a couple of phone calls from Dad, overwhelmed, you know, trying to answer the phone and answer emails, but also be out in the field doing the service. So I said, well, why don't you let me come in to the office during the summer and just help with that, you know, answer the emails, answer the phone calls, help with the invoicing. And he was like, oh no, I have a business partner. I have to ask if, you know, and I was like, okay, well, it's nothing crazy. I'm going to start nursing school in September. So, you know, if you need some help. So a week later he says, all right, why don't you, you know, come in. We were working out of his bedroom in his house. And so I came in and I started answering the phone and answering emails. And then by the end of the year, I was like, okay, we started to pick up more stores. We gained an apprentice in Connecticut. And I said, well, we got to move out of here. You know, it can't work out of this small little bedroom anymore. So I found a space in town, which we're still here today, 12 years later. And I fell in love with the industry and the trade. I grew an extreme passion for it.
So what was your job when you first came in then? What were you doing? Was there like some progression in what your jobs were that you were like, you know, did you come in as a comfort consultant? Were you just an office manager answering the phones? Like you said, like what was next?
Yep. So that's all I was just an office manager. I helped doing proposals. I helped answering calls and emails, ordering filters, parts, whatever they needed me to do, I was there to do. And so as we started to grow, I started bidding rooftop replacements, organizing commercial job sites, also picking up, and obviously I'm sure a lot of other wearing hats of invoicing, paying the bills. Every hat just kept getting added as the years started to grow. So finally, a year later, we had my Aunt Michelle come on to help with the invoicing and answering the phone calls.
So you wore many hats, which is the story of many who started businesses or in small businesses. That's kind of what has to happen. And there's a lot of family in the business?
Yes.
Got it.
So it's my dad, my brother, Mike Jr., who's our operations, who didn't come aboard. He worked for a really big company right out of trade school. And he ended up coming on to AGS maybe about 2015. And then my uncle Paul is our sheet metal fabricator. Paul and Mike went to trade school together and started off in the trade as sheet metal workers.
Got it. Well, Chad knows something a little bit about a family business, being that his dad started a business.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one of the blessings that I had was very similar to yours, is I didn't have a role when I started, right? And so when you don't have a role, you got to figure out everything because you don't have anything specific to do. So I think that's a blessing. And sometimes a curse, but what would you say started to understand the business, where did you feel like, hey, there's a real opportunity? You know, the company, you know, it's a little bit smaller, and Chris called you a small company, but at $3.5 million, like, you're a lot bigger than most. But like, So when you started, like, what were the things that you like immediately saw, like, okay, I can provide value here. What does that look like? And I think it's important for listeners to understand that there's so much low hanging fruit in a lot of these businesses that can be actioned upon, that can move the needle. So what were those things where you like went in and even not knowing anything about the business, you were like, oh my gosh, like, well, we could do this better and we could do this better. What were some of those things?
For me, finding my fingerprint was important, right? Because my dad is awesome at HVAC. John is amazing at HVAC and my brother is amazing. So finding what my fingerprint was, it probably happened at my first Bryant Women in HVAC conference, right? As my first conference, like you said, Chris, my relationship with Charlene Ierner was huge for me to realize that women, they were leaders and they, you know, ran companies. And so I would say that I really found the opportunity in 2017 to say, okay, I can become a great leader. I'm good at relationships. I'm good at being a leader that can empathize with my employees. I'm a leader that, you know, the value or the relationships that I was building with my customers, from our vendor to our homeowners, I really felt like, okay, to help the business move along and to grow, I can become a better leader. And, you know,
question for you. So actually, yes. I think I know where you're going with this. So, okay. I'm going to give you a bailout. So what I'm hearing you say is it actually gave you some confidence, right? Because especially being in such a male dominated industry, you go to the Bryant Women in HVAC deal or whatever, or just the regular Bryant meeting that we're talking about in Indianapolis, like, you know, and Charlene Ierner won, you know, dealer of the year, just like Peterman Brothers has won dealer of the year. But you went and watched that and said, okay, cool. Like, I can totally be me and be a badass leader in this business. And so did you walk away with that with some confidence? And by the way, like, if that's what you took away, that's a big deal. Cause then it gives you the confidence to come in and say, okay, I thought maybe I should make this change, but maybe I don't say something. I don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart. And is that kind of how that played itself out then? Was it gave you the confidence to say, okay, I think I know my shit and then we can make these changes, and it gave you the courage to go ahead and say it?
Yes, absolutely. So in 2017, we didn't even have a website. So coming off of that conference and coming back to, you know, to my dad and John, who are very old school, and it was very difficult to say, hey, we need to spend marketing dollars. We need, you know, we need to have our trucks wrapped. We need to have a brand, you know. So coming out of that conference with the confidence to say, okay, these are the changes I think we need to make, you know, to get better.
Yeah. And you guys now, okay, so if I get this wrong, just correct me. but you said the business was started in 2014. Did I get that right? 2012.
Yeah, 2012.
You came on in 2014.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. Well, hang on a second. When did you decide to, or when did you get the opportunity to buy in as an owner in the business? What year was that?
2022.
Okay. So we're not too far off of that. So in that gap, did the company finish last year the largest it's ever finished, that $3.5 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So those years in between, was it pretty flat for the most part? Like, it was pretty consistent. You kind of knew what to expect. Look, I've seen every new tech tool in the trades. When I first saw contractor commerce years ago, I thought, cool idea, but will homeowners really buy systems and do estimates online? Well, they are big time. Summit Heating did over $500,000 in installs with instant estimates. Peterman Brothers is crushing it with their filter subscriptions. It's not theory anymore, it's actually happening. So yeah, Paul Paul's not crazy. This is the future. The future is now. Go to contractorcommerce.com and see it for yourself. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yes, we were steady 2 million in that from, I would say, from 17 till just last year, 23.
Got it. So is it a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that it stayed flat for so long? You come on board, you know, as a co-owner and CEO. So you're leading the business. Yeah. And now you start to see some growth. Is this a coincidence, Rara, or is it not?
So there's a lot of changes that I made last year coming aboard, right? And so just as a nobody in this family business went to college or said, I want to be an HVAC owner, right? We got two owners that just were really good at HVAC. So it was like, okay, well, what do we need to do to get better and grow? So last year, in networking, listening to the right podcasts, reading the right books, it was like, okay, we need to know our numbers, and we need to have data. We need to measure our business on metrics. And so implementing ServiceTitan, getting a real website. I think we had like $100 website for like 7 years. Setting goals. So me and my brother made this whiteboard with a chart, and we said, okay, if we can do this every month in revenue, we visually wrote out our goals. And so my brother was a big part of that growth. Our friendship and our partnership is huge, but we also wanted to be able to offer our employees better salary, benefits, and everything that they need to do to provide their family. And it was like, okay. And of course we want this, you know, ServiceTitan and all these great tools to help us measure our business. So that's going to take making more money.
I want to ask you one question, because this was one of the things being in a family business myself that I want listeners to understand, because I know there's so many family businesses out there, and you have the second generation come in and you've got a different vision for where you want to take things, and you've got this first generation. What was that conversation like with your dad when you said, hey, we need to spend money because I want to take this somewhere? And really what I'm getting at is, like, what was your dad's reaction to that? And most importantly, and where I think you can help listeners out, is how did you sell that vision to him that, like, hey, we're going to take this to the next level?
So it was really hard. To be honest with you, like, he is, like you said, first generation, and he's very old school, and he's very old school in his leadership style. And so getting him to not let me, because we're business partners at this point, right? But selling him on spending the money on marketing was very, very, very difficult. But he kind of took a step back last year and kind of said, okay, I'm going to let you and Junior kind of take over. But with, I'll be honest, right, transparent, with 2024 starting off slow, it was like, well, you're spending too much. We clashed I would say in February, we probably had one of the biggest arguments that we've had in a really long time, right? Because here I am spending this money on SEO campaigns, saying, okay, we're going to prepare for this first quarter. We're going to prepare for what next year is going to bring us. The new website, rebranding and rewrapping all of our trucks, a new fleet, spending money on ServiceTitan review, but things to pull our Google reviews. He didn't understand that, Chad. Telling him that we need to have Google reviews, it's like, it's really hard. And to this day, we still butt heads. He's my biggest challenge.
Yeah. So I asked you that question selfishly, mainly because I know that my dad listens to this podcast pretty regularly, and I wanted him to hear this piece.
Shout out to Pete.
Love Pete. Great guy. But yeah, and you know, for me, and when you said your dad took a step back, like, to me, it's the most selfless thing, because they've created this thing from scratch. It's the hardest thing to do in the world. And they've handed over the keys to the second generation to, you know, go do something. And naturally, they're going to have, you know, hey, I don't understand why we're doing this and all of this stuff. And I think it's really, the onus is really on the second generation to explain that to them and then prove that out, which it sounds like that you're doing. And there's going to be like, hey, I don't understand this. I'm not really sure why I'm doing this. And I think that's perfectly normal. Like, I think so many people run up against that and they're like, oh my God, we're doing something wrong. It's like, no, that's normal. Like, they're going to have that attachment to their baby. Like, yes, that's what they created. And now you're taking this money and you're spending it in different ways. And they don't even know what SEO means. But we know that it's important. And for them to have that trust in us, I think is hugely important. And I think that it's one of those things where in family business, and I talk to a lot of people, they're like, how'd you do it? What was it? And I was just like, you know what, I got really lucky because my dad was willing to take a step back and let us kind of do our thing, make our own mistakes. And they were there to support us, even though they had questions and we had, you know, run-ins and different stuff like that. You know, the thing I'm most grateful for is the fact that he let me be stupid, and I still am, and make dumb decisions and do all of this. And he's just there to support us. So I think that's hugely impactful. But I also think it's our superpower as a family-owned business, right? Because you have that person in your corner who's believing in you the whole time. And it's just, that's what propels you. And I think that that's the thing that as family-owned businesses, we need to harness, is that while there may be disagreements, there may be misunderstandings, at the end of the day, knowing that someone trusts us to take it to the next level is hugely important to our own kind of psyche and ego and all of those things that are playing into that. Did you feel any of that as you're like having these disagreements, but also he let you do it, right?
Exactly. And I'm the firstborn. I'm daddy's little girl, right? And so he would say to me, I don't agree with you, but you wouldn't be in this seat if I didn't believe in you. You know, if I didn't trust that you could do this, and I know you can do this, but I don't agree with this. And, you know, we'll go over expenses and we'll look at this. And he doesn't understand. And I'll say, but dad, me and Mike grew your company $1.5 million last year. What more do I have to show you? And I get it. We have been a slow first quarter and we got to figure things out because we're 50% commercial and we don't have that service or that revenue coming in, you know, in those 4 months. And do we got to figure something out? Sure. But at the end of the day, we're doing great things. And it shows. It shows in our numbers. It shows in our profit. It shows on our Google reviews.
Yeah, so let me just chime in for a second, because, you know, when you and I were talking ahead of the podcast, I was asking you how your 2023 went, you know, and you just mentioned you had a nice $1.5 million growth, which for a company that's been flat, that's pretty damn fantastic. I mean, you almost grew the thing 100%. It's still new, right? So you got one quarter that doesn't go the way that, you know, that it's used to going potentially, or that, it, you know, I think that happens. And I've not been through a generational business like both you two have, but I could see where that would still be like, it's still a little bit too new. Like I told you, you know, but I love that he said to you, hey, I wouldn't have put you in this position if I didn't believe in you. And you got to stand on that. Like, that's what you stand on. And you're already like doing a good job of recognizing, because you're catching yourself, because it's we, not, you know, it's not I, yes. I, it's, you know, we are building the business. But you are doing something, right? Like, it didn't stay stagnant all those years and then all of a sudden just miraculously grow $1.5 million in 2023. If it was 2021, 2022, different story. Then it's easier to say, yeah. 2023, you grew $1.5 million. That's good. That's fantastic. So you did prove yourself. You know, you started to make some changes, and I'm sure he has to understand some of that or feel some of that somewhere, no matter how old school you are. He sees that in the numbers if he's an old school P&L balance sheet guy.
Yeah, he does a little bit. It's even hard because things that we need to, you know, the communication, sitting down, he didn't understand that I wanted job descriptions. You know, it's like, no, Dad, it's not just be here for another year, you get another dollar. We need to be able to hold these guys accountable. They need to know their path. They need to have clarity. They need to know their growth. So there was a lot of things that he just didn't understand because he's a tradesman. So sitting down and having a meeting, he would be like, it's a lot of fucking money at this table, Rachel Ann. You got your service manager. And it's like, yes, but Dad, if we all don't have the same vision and we're not on the same page and we're not, it's not going to work. And we have to, from our service team to our install team to our management, like we have to have the same vision and the same goals. It's a struggle.
Yeah. And you have to have everybody's belief too. I think this is part of what makes us work for you is that you kind of, you can just get put in a position, like came in out of, you know, like you came up through the business a bit and, you know, and you probably earned the respect of some of the people too, because the business was smaller, didn't have that many employees at the time. And so you did earn that respect but people got to want to be led by you too. Right. And so what you can do for them matters, how you treat people matters, you know, but the business, has a goal and everybody has to be marching towards that same goal. And that's your job as a leader and your management, anybody in management's job as a leader to continue to guide them down and support them and remove hurdles and all the things to get them to go down that path. So that's being a leader. I know that like Chad has a ton of good feedback on leadership. I mean, he leads a huge group of, you know, people at Peterman Brothers, but you have to try and do things, you know, for them too, right? You got to make the business appealing for people to come and work at as you're growing, because you can't grow the business without bodies too. Now,
absolutely, and just creating a culture that, you know, making sure that people want to be here.
And I want to ask this question real quick too. I was listening to another podcast that you had done before. I don't remember which one it was. I think there's only a couple that I think you had done before that you sent me. And you had mentioned on there how raising your prices in 2024 was a really hard decision to raise prices. I remember being in business in the beginning of building the company back when it was called Brickyard Marketing, back in the day, early 2008, 2009. And I thought, I'm going to keep my costs really low so it's really appealing for somebody to use my business because we're new. We needed customers. I'm glad I learned that lesson early because I was not charging enough, and it was okay to raise my prices because I was worth it. The value was worth it. And I struggled for years because I kept my costs too low and it didn't allow me to do the things in the business I wanted to do fast enough or grow it the way I needed to grow healthy and add the different benefits to employees as we scaled. So I owed it to myself and to my employees to increase our prices for what we were, you know, providing. It is a hard decision. I want to know why raising the prices for you was a hard decision in 2024.
Just being scared of losing customers. You know, we have direct accounts with Planet Fitness, Ace Hardware. We have some great direct commercial accounts, some restaurants that we do great revenue with. And so and obviously our residential maintenance, and then our residential service pricing. And it was like, okay, you know, what is our customer's reaction? And we didn't have any bad feedback. And you know why? And so for me, it was, okay, our guys are trained, they're NAIT certified, most of them are licensed. If not, they're on our apprenticeship. We're going out and providing great service. So we're giving that value. So, you know, like I told the team, we shouldn't be scared because what we're charging, we're providing great service for that price. And so It was scary, but we ended up having great feedback from it.
Yeah, Rachel, I think that there's an important point here to make, and especially to a lot of, you know, companies that are on the, you know, on the growth path and everything. Like, we hear all the time from podcasts, from, you know, social groups, all this stuff, like, raise your price, raise your price, raise your price, raise your price. And they're not wrong. But I think what you're doing and the steps that you're taking are the correct ones, because you can't raise your price unless you are actually providing the value to substantiate that price raise. And what you said, you know, our technicians are certified, they're licensed, all of these things. Like, you know, what I would tell listeners is, don't go raise your price if you can't provide a high level of service. Don't go raise your price because everybody told you so. What you did, I think, is something that people need to take away from this, is like, you have to work on the front end to make sure that the service that you are providing is worth that. And I think so oftentimes, and there's a lot of people that, you know, hey, we're not charging what we should charge, and our technicians are licensed and they're certified and background checked and all of these things. But to me, you're doing it the right way, is you're really working at those pieces of the puzzle. And I think that's where people need to focus, is how do I raise the quality of my service to then raise my price? And I can feel good about it because I'm worth it. It's the people who just go raise their price and they're like, well, yeah, you know, I just got a bunch of guys running around doing whatever. And it's like, no, you shouldn't raise your price. You should probably actually lower your price. But when you start to work on your company like you're doing, to me, that makes sense. And I think that's the piece that is often left out of the puzzle that I think you're doing a fantastic job of. And I think a lot of people can learn from in that space of like, hey, we got to work on ourselves. We got to give these guys past progression. We got to, you know, figure out what this looks like. And to me, that's really admirable. And kudos to you and your team for realizing like, hey, how do we build our company so that it's actually worth a more valuable price out in the market? So good for you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that I only talk about tools that actually help our team. And BlueOn is definitely one of those. At Peterman Brothers, our techs are using BlueOn every single day. It's become their go-to resource. It really is like having a senior tech in your pocket. They can scan a unit, get all the model data, wiring diagrams, parts, and even troubleshoot with BlueOn's AI. We've seen fewer callbacks, faster fixes, and happier techs. And that's why I'm such a big believer in BlueOn, because it actually works. So do yourself a favor, click on the link in the description and book a quick demo with the BlueOn team to see it in action.
Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla. That was very nice of you, Chad.
When people are doing it right, we need to let them know, because there's a lot of people in our industry that are not doing it right. Hopefully, what we're talking about today and having people on like Rachel who are doing it right, like this, these are the examples that we need to lift up the industry as a whole, because we're always going to be looked down upon if we don't actually provide the benefits associated with the price that we're charging.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Just from going into the homes, making sure that we are sending the right technician for the right call, installation. We're, you know, like you said, Chad, we're certified, we're trained. We only install two pieces of equipment, and that's because we're really good at it. I think my dad did a walkthrough today at a new construction house, and funny, he said, the builder said to the homeowner, because they found us on a dealer locator, and the homeowner wanted to hire us. And the builder said, well, you know, my guy does all the plumbing and, you know, he can do the HVAC and the plumbing. And dad just said, you know, well, I specialize in one thing, and that's HVAC. And I know this system you know, my guys are factory trained and I'm going to provide you with the best value. Do you want a plumber coming in and, you know, somebody that does plumbing to install your HVAC? And Dad said, you want an electrician installing your mini split? And so, you know, thank you for recognizing that, because we definitely pride ourselves on that.
So let's do this real quick. You know, you've been the co-owner and CEO since 2022, correct? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's call it a year and a half. You've been the leader, right? You've been one of, well, your co-owner, but the leader, you're CEO. So what have you guys, and maybe this has been multiple things, but what have you recognized as the leader of the business that you guys have been doing really well? Like, what have you recognized? Hey, this is what we're doing really well.
So as a business, I think we're really strong on residential install. I think that that's what we do really well is install. As far as in the office, as an owner and leadership, I would say connecting with our employees, but I think we do HVAC really good.
Got it. Okay. So you are great, like you're A+ in installation. Like you go in and you do a great job on residential installs. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I'm sure you probably have some sort of like metrics or KPIs or tools or whatever in place that are letting you know, and maybe it's customer feedback, maybe it's customer experience, whatever it is. Maybe it's a lack of callback. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you know, like, hey, this shit we got locked down. Like we got installs, like we're money on installs. Cool. What have you found that you're doing that is a challenge for the business that you're trying to fix? Because by the way, at that size, there's probably still plenty of them, but is there anything in particular that stands out to you? You're like, okay, this is what I'm experiencing right now. Then I want our listeners to hear specifically what you say at the size that you're at and the time frame that you got there. That's why it's important to me that you're able to share, hey, these are like the one of the biggest challenges or this is the major challenge that I'm facing right now.
Communication. We struggle with communication. You know, like I was saying, we have three owners, getting that vision on board and together. We were just family for a really long time. And so now we have multiple employees. And so we struggle with communication.
Got it. So
all right, Rachel.
Go ahead.
Hold on, Chris. I got something here. This is good for listeners. This is something I've learned literally over the last month, and it'll help Rachel too. All right, so communication, it will always be the bane of your existence. It's awful. The reason what I found out is, like, you know, when we struggled with communication, what I first turned to was like, well, I'm just going to communicate more. I'm going to send out more emails. I'm going to do more of this. I'm going to do more of that. And everybody's going to think it's fake. But the problem is, and what you're recognizing is, it breaks down. Once it leaves that room, it breaks down before it gets to the field technicians. So what we've started to do is we have a meeting. And then once we get wrapped around that idea, then I'll shoot a video and explain it. And that's the message that goes out to our technicians, because the message gets so distorted all the way down that it needs to come from, hey, this is what we decided. This is what it is. So just shoot a quick video. And in that service meeting, it's service manager, play this video. We're going to explain it. And then you take the questions and then we'll answer them. And then everybody is on the same page. It's super simple. You would think in 2024, we figured out the power of video, but like, just shoot a quick video. It takes 5 minutes, shoot a video, send it out to people. And then everybody is on the same page and they all get one message from the top. This is what we're talking about. This is what we mean, as opposed to you saying it. Your service manager like takes it, his own liberties, because he doesn't want to hurt the feelings of the technicians and this, that, and the other. And you just explain the why behind, hey, this is the change we're making. This is why we're doing it. And your service manager, we believe in him and he's going to carry this out and this is going to be great. But just, I wanted to throw that in there. Sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but that is something we learned literally over the last month. And it's literally transformed our communication, because that is where it broke down, is when it started. We started allowing other people to deliver the message, and then it just got all sorts of haywire, and everybody's like, well, why is everyone so mad about communication? It's like, oh, well, they got a completely different message than everybody else that in the meeting that we decided that this was the communication that we were going to give out to people.
Thank you, Chad, because I literally am experiencing, like, I've had some difficult conflict situations due to lack of communication. And how genius would have that been if I just snapped a video and said, okay, this is how the 4:10 schedule is going to be. You know, this is how you clock in for your lunch. Instead of having disgruntled employees, you know, it goes through like telephone, like Chad said. It breaks down as you try to get that message across. And it was like, whoa, 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 that's not what we talked about in the meeting. And it does. It's exactly what Chad said, is it breaks down. But also, that's a great point, Chad, that you said it kind of alleviates that service manager, right? And explaining the why behind it. Right. So when I got the guys together, it was like I noticed as soon as I explained the why, if they were like, OK, I get it, Raw. Like, yeah, no problem. Like, but as soon as you give that, that's genius. OK, I'm writing that down.
Chad, that was fantastic, sir.
Yeah, it was. that's good feedback.
So simple.
We're living and learning. Yes. We learned it in kindergarten, right? When we played telephone and we figured out what the issue was, and now we forgot about it and now we're back to it. So same thing.
It's a great idea. That's like, hey listeners, just so you know, y'all got cell phones, you can do the exact same thing. It's all it takes. Don't overthink the video, just record the message, and then that way it doesn't get Mr. That's really good. Hey, one thing that you said, Rachel, was that it creates, you know, issues, conflict, you know, things like that, you know, and conflict is difficult enough as it is. You know, and as you grow and scale the business and you have to lead people and you're adding people to your organization, conflict is always a part of it. And conflict resolution is a part of it. Now it changes when it's no longer family. Because, you know, you can take advantage of the fact that it's your family and you might have like a little bit tougher of a conversation with one another, but you can't do that same thing, you know, with someone who's not, you know, someone who's organically coming to the business. But conflict resolution will always, always be a part of business, because you have to learn how to, you know, resolve it, you know, in a professional way. So as a business is like, are you noticing that have you had to have like your first real conflict resolution with someone who's not family in the business? I mean, have you come across that so far? Has that happened to you?
I have. So I've had a couple. So I, you know, had to step in last year and I had, you know, had to fire somebody that, you know, wasn't really up to our AGS standards or providing the value that, you know, we hold ourselves to. But I find the more that, I don't want to say it's not practice because I'm not practicing firing people, but with conflict, I find that reverting back to our core values has been helpful for me, or in conflict, making sure over last year, we really honed in on our handbook and our policies, so that, because I'm kind of like, all right, you know, like, cool. Yep, you can take that time off in the middle of the summer. But, you know, putting those policies, making sure they were in our handbook has helped me with conflict, or just our core values saying, okay, attitude over skill is one of our core values. So if I have somebody coming at me, you know, and it's like, whoa, 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 I don't talk to you or treat you like that. You know, our value here at AGS is respect, teamwork, attitude over skill. And so I like to kind of just reiterate our core values when I am experiencing that conflict, to be like, okay, hey, you know, I don't, you know, that's just, you know, that's how I kind of deal with the conflict. But I haven't had too much conflict.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's come, actually what you're saying sounds really good. And I will say this, I struggled with this for the longest time because I always wanted to be like the nice guy and I get along with everybody. And how I would handle conflict is I would just avoid it, which is also a big no-no. And so it's taken me a long time to learn. My wife is arguably the best at conflict resolution. Like, she's so good at being authoritative and professional and following the core values of the business and explaining the why behind, you know, you can't do this because of XYZ. And I'm sure you probably gave whomever it was you had that with like multiple opportunities to get it right. But it's important, you know, for all of our listeners, if you're smaller, like, you know, you lead by influence, not intimidation, you know, and follow those core values. And I think people really respect you more. I know people really respect you more. Those who understand, those who are professional, when you stand up for what you're about and your core values, and you hold the line on the business and the, you know, the rules that you have in place or the accountability that you have in place, like people respect that about you as a leader. Like you stood your ground, you did what was right. People are paying attention to those things. So yeah, you can always fall back on your core values. And if you're a smaller company and you have some core values in place, and maybe your core values are just, you know, good customer service, integrity, honesty, whatever it is, like make good decisions and stand by your decisions and don't be afraid. And by the way, you don't have to be an asshole. If somebody is, you know, does mess up, you don't have to yell at them. You don't have to start a fight. You professionally keep yourself calm and you work through it. If you legit did a good job of giving them the opportunity to fix the problem, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have legit done the things to be helpful, unless it requires, you know, some people will use the question asking method, like, hey, what would you do if you were in my position since we've done X, Y, Z? Like, there's different methods that you can go about.
The corrective action. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. And you know, it's hard having those difficult conversations and, just, you know, especially in my experience, because you have a technician or a manager that you're, you know, you've been working with, but sometimes I have to ask myself too, in this conflict, is this something that did I, you know, I always question myself too. Did I provide clarity? Is it an ownership issue? Or, you know, is this something that I could have provided better, you know, to the, you know, to the employee?
Are you also owning publicly when you make mistakes?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I think that's super important to, you know, for people to see you make a mistake and own it too. So that way you're not right. Not always right.
Yep. Nope.
So, you know, we're 50 minutes into this thing already. It's going pretty fast. We're almost an hour into this podcast already. I just want to ask another quick question. You know, you're still a growing leader and you'll always be a growing leader, by the way, as the business evolves and you evolve and all the things happen. And we talked a little bit about how you're involved with Bryant, the Bryant Women at HVAC. What else are you doing for yourself to, you know, to be a better leader of the business? You grew to 1.5 million, like, and I'm assuming you have loftier goals than that. So you have to continue to scale the business. But what are you doing for yourself to continue to grow your own leadership skill? I mean, are you going and doing shop tours or shop visits? Like, you know, Chad invited you to come to his place, but are you doing some of those things now? Do you have like a peer group that you're involved in? Do you have like different organizations that you go in to learn leadership skills? What are you doing to help grow yourself?
So I network a lot with a lot of the women at Bryant Women in HVAC. So any questions, I'm always constantly reaching out. I'm always listening to podcasts. I mean, for a long time, Chad, I listened to Can't Stop the Growth. That's where I learned what a KPI was. I was like, what is a KPI? What is this? And a DISC assessment. That episode was huge for me to realize that you can't manage, not everybody is managed the same way. So constantly conferences, networking. I would like to do more shop tours to see what are they doing that I'm not doing that I could be doing better. You know, any kind of book I can get my hands on, you know, just constantly trying to grow myself.
Chad, what advice would you give her on if she's going to go and visit shops, like shop tours, things like that? What advice would you give her on the who to go to? Would you give her any, like, do you want her to, like, your shop is a big shop. She's nowhere near where you're at, but you weren't that far away from it, you know, like in last decade. But like, what advice would you give her on if you're going to go do shop tours and visit the people, who, what's the advice?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think all the things that you're doing are phenomenal, because I'm a firm believer that your company is going to grow at the pace that you grow as a leader. If you're the $3 million leader and you're always the $3 million leader, well, then your company's not going to just miraculously get to six or 10 Because you've got to grow yourself as well. So, you know, to answer Chris's question, I think the biggest thing is, and where I see a lot of people is like, yeah, it's great to go visit the big ones and get all these ideas and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you probably don't have the infrastructure to pull off what potentially they're pulling off. Now, there's some good ideas that you can kind of, oh, okay, well, I can think we can do it maybe a little bit like this. But to me, it's like, okay, who's at that next level? So I'm at 3, 3.5, you know, who's at 10? Like, because the people at 10, they're double your size, a little bit over, but like they can relate to where you are and they can help you with those things because it wasn't that long ago that they were there. They can also show you the things that you need to be thinking about into the future of like, hey, maybe I ought to think about adding this position, or hey, we need to really think about, you know, really fine tuning our call center or whatever it is. I mean, there's so many days when I say like, if I could go back and start at like a small level, knowing what I know now, like, oh, this would be a breeze because I wouldn't have to make all those damn mistakes. And to me, it's like, well, okay, at this point in time, like you can go learn what a $10 million shop did or didn't do and then make those corrective actions now while you're a little bit smaller, because it's a hell of a lot easier to get something corrected when you only got to communicate it to so many people. And then at the point when you got to communicate it to double that many people or triple, well, it gets a little bit harder because you got a lot more people that you got to make happy and all of these things. Whereas if you can get it right to begin with, you know, there's even things in our business today. I'm like, God dang, this would be a hell of a lot easier change if I would have done this when we were really small and just got it right the first time. Where now we're so far down the road that like, ah, hell, changing this that's a whole different ball game. So I think in a nutshell, I think it's really looking at what's that next level that I want to get to, and then go find as many people that are at that level as possible, because some of them are going to have some crappy ideas. Some of them are going to have some better ideas. And then I think you contrast that with, hey, I went to some bigger shops. This is what they're doing. And then you can work it backwards to figure out what are those things that we actually need to be working on and what are most impactful. So that's what I would do. Like if I'm sitting in your seat, I'm looking for every $10 million shop out there and I'm going and finding them, I'm hunting them down and I'm saying, hey, can I come visit? Cause I want to see how you do things, how you got to where you were, what were the struggles where I am now that you were at maybe a couple of years ago. And then what do I need to be looking forward to as I move into the future?
Thank you.
And we can make some of those connections for you. I think we know a few of those shops. And listen, like, I respect your position as a woman leader in the business too, but you also got to be okay with going and visiting a bunch of guy shops. Cause that's what a lot of them are. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, because I'm not a believer in the men or women versus I don't participate in any of that. I just believe you're a leader and you build your business because you and your skill set and your growth and your opportunity and what you do. And then if that makes you a great female leader, good for you. If it makes you a great male leader, good for you. I don't buy any of that bullshit. Yeah. But what I'm saying is,
neither do I.
You have to do you, right? And yep. It's not, we didn't create, hey, let's make this a male dominated industry. Like, we didn't create that shit. It's just the way that it was. There's a lot of female leaders in this thing now too, but who cares? Find the $10 million shops, go visit them. Like Chad said, you'll learn some things. Like Chad's setup is fantastic. There's so much information, so many things that they've thought through to build that business from his dad, Pete, to him and his brother, Tyler, taking it and scaling it. So there's a ton of information there. And then you're going to take this here and take this here from these different shops, and you're going to mix them together with your own shit that you're in your own situation. And that's the decision you're going to make. You're going to come up with your own plan. That's maybe a piece of this and a piece of this. And that's growing the business. That's exactly what you're going to do. And I'm excited to be able to, you know, for us to be able to catch you, you know, where you are now. And I wasn't, you know, saying at the beginning of the podcast, any, you know, being disrespectful and saying you're a $3.5 million business. That's certainly an accomplishment. It's just that on this podcast in particular, it's a smaller business that people have been asking us to bring on smaller businesses. And that's where I was going with it. But you've accomplished some things. Like, I know from seeing from 1 to 3 to 5 to 10 to 20 to 50 to 100, I've seen it all, been involved in it all, like all these conversations. And it's just cool for us to be able to meet you earlier in your journey to see what you're going to accomplish. Cause I think you're going to be an absolute rock star. You're already showing that. So I'm sure you make your dad proud.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I was extremely nervous to come on today. And, you know, I know I've seen so much of what Chad has done, and I follow the pod, you know, his podcast, and, you know, you get the, what was that? I think it's a Plumbers magazine, and to see, you know, him and his brother on the front cover and what they did with the training facility. And I was really nervous, cause I'm like, I don't know what I have to share with people. Cause I'm still learning and I'm still growing. So, but like you said, I'm extremely proud of the growth that we had in the last year. And me and my brother don't plan on stopping. So,
well, you're never going to stop growing. That's a plug to Chad. Can't stop the growth. You like what I did there? See that?
No pun intended.
Totally pun intended. But one thing that you hear consistently too, is even these big guys, the majority of them are still students. They are still students. Chad's still going to all kinds of places and learning. Chad's still listening to podcasts. Ken Goodrich, still a student of the game. Like, it never stops for those that continue to grow, because you're always trying to find something new. So don't pigeonhole yourself into, I'm just a $3.5 million company. What do I got to offer? Because you got to get that bullshit out of the way. Because there might be some things that you're doing now that somebody's like, oh shit, yeah, I got to get back to doing that. All right. Would you agree, Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hell, I'm recording this from the airport in Dallas. We were down here with my executive team. We were looking at a moving company that has 90 plus locations across the entire U.S., trying to understand how they market in 90 different markets and, you know, doing all of these things. I've never been so energized in my life seeing, like, hey, this is what we're trying to build. And seeing what they're doing and like all the technology and all of this cool stuff. And so, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, if you stop, the day you stop learning is the day you stop growing.
That's right.
And if you're not out there trying to figure out new ideas and do different stuff like this, and, you know, Rachel, while you may have been, you know, nervous to come on here, sharing your story is helping so many others. And again, like we learned earlier in the podcast, you're learning too from just being on here. I mean, hell, the reason I do my podcast, and I'm sure the reason Chris does this one as well, is we learn just as much asking the questions and finding the answer. Like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that.
100%.
That makes sense. I think it's really awesome to see our industry specifically that is just really leaning into sharing all the information that we possibly can with each other. So that everybody can get better. I mean, there's enough work out there for everybody. It's not like you're sharing something that like is going to be like a trade secret and no one's going to know about it, or, you know, this is going to be our, guess what? We fix furnaces and water heaters.
Right.
That's what we do.
Yep.
Like, there's not a whole lot of secrets here. The minutia behind it. Yeah. We can get strategic and we can figure it out, but we can share that with everybody and we can all get better and all move each other forward, which is really the reason why I love this industry, is because we get to sit on here and talk shop, figure out, you know, how do we help people and how do we move all the companies in the trades forward, which is really cool.
There was one point when Chad and I were talking about thinking outside the box. I'll just throw this out real quick. Chad, see if you remember this. I don't even know where it went because you and I never followed up on it, but I had I brought on a memory coach onto the podcast that I had met at like a conference that I went to a few years ago. And I thought, man, if I could just remember shit better or faster, you know, or maybe I could be better. I could be faster because I'm doing less like rereading or restudying on things. Like, I just got to remember shit better because I'm ADHD. And then I was like, Chad, I got an idea. What if at Peterman Top Tech, you brought in a memory coach, so that way that your new students could learn the schematics better, or like whatever the trainings were, faster. You think that would work? I don't know if that ever panned out or not. Point being is, yeah, it's a little outside of the box.
We literally, weirdly enough, I was literally sitting at the same table that I'm recording this from, and I was talking to one of the guys that's here with me, and he got an email from Nelson, and we're talking through the memory coach stuff. Like, oh yeah, remember this? I sent it over to you. We're trying to figure this out. So weird that you said that. Literally, that happened 30 minutes ago.
Point being is we're trying some different shit, okay? It doesn't always need to be the same thing. I was just thinking, well, it seems to make good logical sense to me. If you can remember things faster or better, you know, you can learn quicker. Anyhow, yeah, Chad's exactly right. Like, you know, it's been since 2020, we launched this podcast, the second week of January 2020. All these episodes, a lot of fantastic guests, and it's a constant education for me. And I'm grateful for it. It's equally as fulfilling for me to give back to all the listeners. We have a huge, massive listener base that you know, it blows me away that 4 years later, we're still doing this shit and people are still listening and it continues to grow and scale. But part of that is because we bring on the right guests that those can listen to and be relatable to, right? Or to understand and learn from, regardless of size. So, you know, Chad and I met, we're from the same area, but we met through business, you know, and then he listened to the podcast and we became friends and, you know, and we are constantly talking shop, and just talking about different things because that's what we enjoy doing. You know, it's just part of, you know, fun. Outside of his alter ego, 22 Savage, we talk a little bit of shop. One of these days we'll let you all in, all the listeners in on what 22 Savage is. That'll be a later date. But Rach, listen, super excited for you and your journey and where you're at. And really, you're just kind of getting rolling on this thing and you're having some success. And though Q1 was challenging for you, I have no doubt that you're going to kick this year's ass. Do you have a goal for the end of this year? Like, do you have like, hey, what's my number I want to be in 2024?
Yes, we do. We definitely want to try to hit at least 4 million.
Good.
So
good for you.
Yes.
Get it done. That should, you should fucking slam dunk that one, by the way. Okay.
Yes.
Slam dunk it. So, you'll have all the support, you know, support in the world. And that's part of what's cool about being on these things too, is we start to develop friendships and relationships and then just another couple of people that you can rely on for help along the way. So I appreciate you giving us your hour and time and sharing your story and being vulnerable with it.
And I appreciate the both of you and sharing your knowledge and sharing your time with me.
Well, we are, it is our pleasure. Chad, I appreciate you making it happen from the airport there in Dallas, Fort Worth. And it was good to see you on here this time, because last time I got to bust your chops without you being on here. You don't give a shit. And one of these episodes.
Part of my life.
I just want to hear a few bars from Chad. Just say, all my exes live in Texas. No? No? Okay. Not this time, listeners. I apologize. But listen. Maybe you want to sing a few bars, and I don't know if you do or don't, but the whole point of this thing is hopefully you could take one thing away. And if nothing else, you know, maybe that's that you feel the need to reach out to Rachel and offer some help. You know, if you didn't learn something and you want to offer up some help, I'm sure she would welcome that. Sounds like she would. But you know, as I always say, and I finish every single podcast with this, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No, 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.